Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
Did you tell Elliot that it was...
Yeah, he's still playing, so if you hear, like, random boy noises, it's just him on his video games.
As long as he doesn't, like, grunt loudly, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to come out.
So funny. I love it.
Like, he knows, but he's in the middle of a game, and if you quit the game early, it totally ruins your score. And
it does.
And then you can get banned.
And then you can get banned, and it's a whole thing.
And your team can kick you. Like, I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
It's fine.
Yeah. Although, as a mom, one of the most frustrating things having a gamer as a child is when you call them to, like, I don't know, come get their plate of dinner. And you hear, I can't pause. Or I'm in the middle of a round.
Yeah.
I don't.
That just happened tonight here.
Did it really?
Yes.
Oh, like, that happens
dinner is
all
ready.
The time.
Dinner is ready. You're not eating at this point.
I'm going to do one more round or one more game, and 45 minutes later, it's still going.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you were told you needed to stop. He's like, but I was just playing one more game.
Yeah. It's so frustrating as a parent. It's like, there are so many times where I'm like, I'm just turning off the internet. I wonder what happens if the power just reset all of a sudden, right?
I think there would be mutiny. Now, I will say he does play with his friends, so, like, he's having social time while he's playing. So, like, my sister-in-law and I were talking about this the other day. We're like, we want to encourage that, but it's a lot of screen time, but they're hanging out. So it's like,
it's hard,
when is it too much?
But you know what, though? I also can't say anything about, like, online friend or gamer friends, because some of my best friends are my online friends.
This is true.
I'm just saying.
Hence the reason we're like, when is it too much?
You know, like.
And we usually just let it go.
Right. It's just,
true.
Because it honestly, like, it is a very different world from when we grew up.
Exactly.
And like I said, like I told her, it's like, had it been, I'll just say 20 years ago, because I don't want to age myself that much tonight. Like, we would just go to a friend's house.
Right.
And basically do the same thing.
Right.
You have a LAN party.
You would just sit next to them and play video games.
Nope. I get it. So, but also, I would not have any friends or social life without onlineness. So.
Well, this.
Yeah.
I would have limited friends.
It was on the other side.
Anyway. So it is another Wednesday Sip and Discuss episode. Our theme for the month of March is all the books Becky wants you to read. Because you know what? I'm the boss.
True.
Nobody wanted to make a decision this month, so we were left.
No, part of it was I have been telling you for years that this is your podcast. You can do what you want with it. And so when we were trying to decide, we were like, why don't you just pick what you want us to read? Because it is your podcast and you can do what you want.
It is. So this first book for this week, this month, is That One Regret by Carrie Elks. This was the community vote. I put two books up for consideration. I don't even remember what two books they were. But I had...
there was a vote?
Leah doesn't vote.
I will admit, I usually do not actually click a vote for anything.
I'll look it up. It was either That One Regret by Carrie Elks, Reckless Faith by Nyssa Catherine, or Mansplain by Vanessa Vail.
All good choices.
All good. I didn't feel like we would go wrong with any of those choices.
Mm-hmm. And again,
I think I've read all of those ones too. So
we've kind of done you like bad the past like few months. So
we
have done her a little dirty.
But also the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've picked some books this last couple months that I'm like, whoa, what were we thinking?
Because you did pick the J.C. Burton book.
I did pick the J.C. Burton book, and then we had the redirect on the Pippa Grant book.
Oh yes,
because I really liked the first book in that series, but the second book was not what it needed to be. But I'm still blaming one person for the Megan Quinn book, but she says it wasn't her. Anyway. Okay, so that one, Regret by Carrie Elks. Who wants to tell us all the things?
I got it.
Okay, give it to us, Jenny.
Release date is August 21st, 2023. Tropes are age gap, small town, second chance, forbidden, taboo, next gen, one night stand. Series name is The Heartbreak Brothers Next Generation. And this is book one. It's a series of interconnected standalones. The point of view is dual third person. Put out percentage is 9%. Audio narrator is Writer Soul. And it's available on Kindle Unlimited. And the audiobook is in Hoopla. And I think somebody found it somewhere else too. But
they might have found it on Anyplay. I think Lindsay still does Anyplay. It's Tantor is the publisher. So Tantor publishes wide. So it would have been on Audible. It would have been on Hoopla, probably in Libby. It's one of those nice things for authors that, so an audiobook is a subright that you can sell to another publisher. So when you have an author like Carrie Elks, who is a Kindle Unlimited author, one of the nice things about letting Tantor upfront the cost on a publishing of an audiobook, it then can be released everywhere. And she's making the same residuals. And I do believe that, like, the commission payouts and stuff like that from Audible and the listen payouts and stuff like that are different than if you independently had published that book as an audiobook. And then, you know, Audible has this whole exclusive thing that if you leave it there, you get higher royalties and such. So so it was in Hoopla for me.
I did this audio. This is a reread, so I was listening to the audiobook today just to refresh myself. I enjoyed this narrator.
Yeah, I feel like they are a fairly even voice. Like, it's that mid-register, so they could do the female and the male. And I believe that writer is female.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but they could do both sides, and it didn't feel stunted one way or another.
No, you know, it sometimes definitely didn't. Like, it was a nice flow.
Yeah.
I did have to speed her up a little bit more than normal. I think I'm usually at like 1.7 and I was at almost 2.25 because she does have a slower cadence to her voice, but it's just, she's slow the whole way. It's not like she's slow and then fast. Like, she is like continual, like in the way she speaks. And it just was, it was too slow for me, but I didn't find it frustrating. I just couldn't focus on it when it was slower.
Yeah. Jenny, you read Hearts and Creek. So this is the second gen. Right. Had you read this one before, or was this your first read?
Yeah. This was my first read of this one. That's why I asked for like a family tree. Because I was like, oh my gosh, all these people had kids and I don't
Right. There's a lot of kids. Yeah.
So if you are looking for the family tree, it is, I did drop the graphic in our Sip and Discuss channel in the Buzzing About Romance Discord. So if you need that reference, it is there. So it's really interesting because my favorite books in the Hearts and Creek, the first generation, is book one and book five, which is Becca's book, Grace's Mom. Yep. That was one of my favorites because, you know, they were enemies to lovers and they just did not like each other. But as we went through this book, I really loved Grace's dad in his book. Him and Becca, I really liked them.
Daniel, right?
Yes. Yeah, Daniel. The third act in this book...
Well, and see, I did not read the original Hearts and Creek series. Like, I did not read the first gen. I was not a fan of her parents in the third act. Well, not so much her mom. Like, her mom was fine. Like, she just was not, like, I would have been more reactive than she was, but that's a me thing. But, like, I did not like her dad at all.
Yeah.
So whether you read first gen or not, you are not going to like him in that third act because he is... douchebag of epic proportions.
Okay, so let's talk about this. This is one of those small town romance. First of all, Jenny, before I get into all of that, it's third person.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking about this like as I started reading.
Because the Heartbreak Brothers is third person.
Yeah, it's. I think she writes it in a way where, because I struggle with like the third person, and it's a lot of like internal thoughts, and like it's in third person. So how do you know like what that person's thinking? So I think she writes it in a really good way that it's flexible, like it's something you would observe the person doing.
There's a lot of show, not tell.
Yes, that is the way to say it.
Like her book is mostly like active, like you're not, there's not a like reactive kind of stuff. It's like
Yeah, like people aren't,
journeying the whole time, like
yeah, they're not sitting there and having like reflective
There's no like
monologues.
internal monologues that go on for
Right.
6 or 7 pages,
Yeah.
which we do get in third person often, and it starts to get kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
So this one, I think the way that Carrie Elkes writes, she does write a lot of dialogue, really good dialogue. And she is much more about showing us the characters through their actions, through their facial features, through their responses, than telling us through internal dialogue. So I was curious about that as I was reading it, because I love Carrie Elkes, and we all know I don't have a problem switching between third person head hopping, third person dual, first person. Like it doesn't. I'm reading a book, but I know that you've expressed, especially recently, as we've done a bunch more third
Yes. It
person, that it's hard for you.
is. It yeah, that has been a statement I've made like out loud. And my husband's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But like, yeah, I just get frustrated with like, you can't know everything this person's thinking. Or I feel like sometimes authors struggle with like saying it in first person, but it's supposed to be in third person. Like they make statements of like, I felt blah, blah, blah. But
Instead of just saying it out loud.
yes. And I'm like,
It becomes an unreliable narrative when they mix things up like that.
Yeah. And it just that I struggle. That's my personal struggle. Like I like, because then I struggle with like who said what and like, yeah.
But I don't feel like Carrie Elkes has that problem. She has
No, she
crafted
does
and
not.
perfected this. And I do know that she's moving towards first person. Her new series that's going to launch in April is all first person. And I think the Salinger
Wasn't
brothers.
I was gonna say, aren't the Salingers in first person
They
too?
are. They are. So, but
Well,
she's.
and we are seeing more authors who have written in third person, like either doing like first and third, depending on the series, like they'll go back and forth or just like transitioning over to first.
Yeah, one of the authors I think of is Kilby Blades, because her first Smarty Pants book was in third person, and I was like, oh my gosh, this might be like the first Smarty Pants book I can't read. But it read really well.
I
But then
love that
she
book.
wrote her second book in that series in
In
first.
first.
And I do think that the current reader prefers a first person. I do
Yeah,
think
they
that the
do.
current reader prefers, not me.
It's a rare occasion where I see a reader say, I don't like first person, but I see I don't like third person a lot.
And next week, you all are going to hate me. So we are just
Wait, what
going,
is next week? Oh,
Whitney,
never
my
mind.
love. And it is third person, it is head hopping, it is multiple points of view.
I like that, but that's just me.
I started reading it last night and I was just, I couldn't put it down anyway.
I think my chaotic brain just really loves it when it gets chaotic
To
in a
me,
book
it
like
feels more
that.
like a movie with like voiceover kind of vibe.
I saw this
Well,
thing on,
that's.
I don't know if I was on the TikTok or if I was doom scrolling on Instagram, but it was like this person who's like, what do you mean when you read a book, you don't see it playing out like a movie in your head?
Some people don't like it's just blank.
It's
I
the
know, like
whole,
I know that, but
yes.
she was like shocked that like there were people that like actually read books and it's quiet
But you
in
tell
their
me to picture an
heads.
apple, I picture an apple, the depth, I see the shine.
Oh yeah.
Mike does not. Like, he doesn't
He's a
visualize like
computer
that.
nerd. He likes ones and
Yeah,
zeros.
I was like, maybe he sees it in binary.
Maybe he sees it in
He might
binary.
see it in binary.
He
That's
might.
actually an interesting question. I should ask my brother that because he is a computer guy.
So this is also one of the things that I love about Carrie Elks is she gives a small town. So this book actually has some heavier topics in it, a little bit, you know, like coming to terms with returning home to the place that you didn't think was your home. But this town is so fun and quirky. I mean, Michael's mother is ill. He's home to help with his mother, and he's come back to a place that he never felt like he belonged. Grace is returning home with her tail between her legs, feeling a little rejected and like she didn't succeed. But the
Well, I
town
think
is,
hers was more situational because
yeah.
of the ex.
But this
And she's disappointed in herself because she let something like that happen.
Town is so quirky, and we get so many chairs moments, and chairs is my favorite.
I would really like, I mean, I wouldn't even have to participate in chairs. Like, I just need to sit and watch
Watch
people at
the
chairs.
scene where
Would you
Michael's.
imagine the delight of the people watching that you would get every
Right?
single weekend?
Yes.
Like, I would love that.
Well,
Because
like.
we all know I'm not the most social person, but I could people watch with the best of them.
Well, like when his mom sets him up with her nurse, like the secondhand embarrassment I felt for the nurse. But then I'm like, I totally would have been like trying to lean closer and closer to hear what everyone was saying. Anyway. But I think it's really, I like that when we have a contemporary romance, because this is contemporary. But it has this quirky small town with these rom-com elements. And it does take away some of the heaviness of the story when you have this town that's set up in chairs and.
And I think chairs makes the like everybody and everyone else's business like more believable, if that makes sense. Because like you're seeing it play out on the weekend, like, and then, you know, like Monday morning, you're like,
Were you at
well,
chairs?
and
Did
it's
you
one
see
of those things where it's like it's
that?
bringing the generations together. Because like on the first chairs that she goes to, well, that Grace goes to when she goes back, it's like she's taking her, like picking her great aunt up to go. So it's like there's multiple generations like conglomerating for this like weekly event. So it really like goes to show like how much care they have, like Carrie Elks treats with the small town and the fact that like it's a very close-knit town. Like, yes, there's issues because it's a town and not everything's going to be like hunky-dory, but like I think that's the big thing is she kind of really like creates this safe environment for everybody there. It doesn't matter like
Well,
the
and
age.
you have the great aunt, you have, you know, the parent generation, you have the kids, and then you have like Presley, who's there with his young child.
Delilah.
Delilah. Yep, and she's in Presley's book is book two, and I
Okay.
love it. Book three is so far my favorite, but I'm anticipating book four in the coming weeks. So, at
I'm
least for me, you all have to
excited for book
wait.
four.
So let's talk about their meet cute because I, so as an editor, as a somebody that does a, you know, I do the acquisitions for the agency and all of that stuff. One of the things that is often talked about is that hook in, that moment that hooks the readers in and they need to know all about it. And man, does that first like two, three chapters hook you in. The meeting in the rain.
Really, like the first like 3 pages, like
Yeah,
they
I would
like
agree.
the eye contact at like the cab in the rain, like just that whole scenario, like that really draws you in. It's like, how are they gonna come back together? Because like you know that dude is like who it's going to be, but how.
Well, and so you have that cab moment and then the bar moment, and her friends leave her.
Right? Oh, yeah, totally. Like,
oh. But then, so then they have this wild, crazy night that was super steamy and spicy. And an early pop? Yes, please. Give it to me.
Well, but then it doesn't. I enjoyed that they like got to know each other too. Like
they did.
It wasn't all
because they went to dinner, they like had conversation, and then they went back to the hotel. But then she wakes up.
And she's hiding behind the bush and she's seeing her parents talk to her one night stand.
So
how awkward.
But at least she didn't see the parents or make eye contact with the parents. Like, she hid behind the bush, so she didn't have to have that awkwardness of it. But then she, like, realizes, like, who he is. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, oh, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, how's she going to get out of that?
But it really does go to show, like, how separated he is from the family as a whole. Because, I mean, yes, he is older, but, like, he left for college and then moved to London and basically has had no interaction with anybody in the entire family.
Well,
like, and he's that separated from it.
And I think that the way she establishes that, well, yes, I did trope this as a taboo romance because it plays into the third act, but overall, because she gives us those lines of the clear separation, almost generational separation, because I think the line is in the book. And I noticed it more this time than I did the first time I read it. Everyone's saying he's closer in age to her mom.
Yeah.
Like, than anybody else. And again, I think that that line is in there three or four times.
It is. Mm-hmm. And, like, speaking of the age and, like, the, like, how far is, like, too far, I really like that her friends had to, like, divide his age by two and, like, add seven. And I was like.
Like, there's a formula to where the age gap is too much.
And then she's younger. Oh, well.
But it's only a couple years, so it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's that, like, bell curve to it. It's like, if you, like, fit in the equation, that's perfect. But if not, where does the curve stop?
And I like an age gap, and I didn't feel like, and maybe it's because she had left home, lived away in France, and wasn't like still under, like, she had her own house, she wasn't living with her parents. I felt like their age gap wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, I've read bigger age gaps than this one, but I think part of the thing
we're not
was,
talking
like,
about that he daddy was,
he was gone, but she was gone. Like, even if she had stayed in Hartson Creek and grew up there and like was like had a career and things like that, the fact that he was not there for over like a good chunk of time, I don't think it would have read much differently, like, because like they didn't grow up together. Like he was 16 like when his book had, like, 15 or 16 in his book, and I'm
based no he's on, like, 16 the... he's 16 in his book. He's
so,
like a sophomore in
his, like, when his
high school.
Mom and Cam get together, like, he's already 16 and like nobody else has gotten together or had babies. And so it's like he hasn't seen her since she's been like maybe 4 or 5.
Well, and I think that from the time distance, because Cam's book is the third book.
Okay.
So the time difference from Cam's book to Becca's book, which is the fourth book, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Fifth book. Is it five?
It's.
She's the fifth book.
But yeah, she's the last one.
They're after.
Yeah, it's her book is after, and it's several years after, because the twins have already been born and they're 3 or 4 years old before.
So that in itself, like, the fact, like, he was already at college basically when she was born. Like, there's no connection, really. And the fact that he didn't come home, like, you can clearly see, like, throughout the book, like, he doesn't come home.
Yeah. Well, and I also, and this has been a kind of a hot topic in the last couple days, because another Allie Hazelwood's coming out with an age gap book later this summer, and age gap is kind of a hot topic. Like, and some readers are like, this is gross. This is yuck. I don't like this. And the rest of us are sitting here going, okay, don't read it. Then the book's not for
right.
you.
Yeah. It's
Yeah,
because that's the rest the of us, like, are like, yes, please.
I mean, I love an age gap.
We know.
I mean, and there's times it can be like
icky.
Not as palatable. Like it's,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. It depends on the author and what their aim is.
I also think that this book is one because he's not her boss in any way. Like he's not her superior anyway. They really are on equal footing in the town again. That I think that that helps in this particular
book. And that's the thing, like they have, aside from meeting at the hotel, like he is a sports agent in London. She works for the family distillery business.
Did you mind that there was 1 year between the one night stand and him coming to town?
No.
Do you feel like that time created any issues for you?
No, I think they covered it well because it, like, they were both kind of still hung up on each other. And I like that he addressed, like, hey, I was looking for you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I changed my number.
Yeah. And when he hands her the phone and says, maybe put your number in here and not change it this time.
Yeah.
Well, and I think had it been, I mean, even if it had only been 6 months, like I don't think had it been a shorter gap of time, I think 6 months would have been the least amount of time that it would have made sense, like with the way the story played out. But like, I don't think a year was unheard of.
Yeah. So within that age gap, I don't feel like either it was, they didn't really get hung up on it for too long either. You know how sometimes we get an age gap romance and one of the characters will be like, oh, but you're so much older.
He was like, at first. When they first meet, he was pretty hung up on it. But like once he gave into the connection, so to speak, like the age, it was an issue in this, like during the third act breakup. But aside from that, it wasn't really...
Only because her dad, friggin' asshole.
Well, before we get there, I like the way that she pushed them together the second time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like that, like sneaking around and like, we're not going to touch each other. Like, there was a catalyst, like using the Ethan.
Yeah.
The vet
sabotages her horse and runs into walls. And
then Sabrina, his half sister, she got wicked wasted
and was puking.
And she's like, just take me to Grace. And he's like, oh, I can't, you know.
He's like, I don't want to take you to Grace.
I'm telling you, like, the throw up moment in the car, I just have to say, we've all had that. And if you haven't, I don't know what's wrong with you. The rest of us had that at least once in our youth. I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't think I. Oh no, I have.
Yeah.
We've all.
I was gonna say I don't think I personally have, but I have.
Oh yeah.
I've also been the driver when it happens, and that's bad too.
I've never been the driver.
Jeremy has held the bucket, ate a cheeseburger, and drive. At the same time.
That's nice. The one time it happened to me, I described to the girl that was my brother's girlfriend that was driving me. I explained to her what I had and what was on her car door.
I do that too.
Anyway, that was gross. Y'all don't need that. Okay. So, Michael, did the fact that he was divorced and going through the divorce, but he doesn't say it when he's in New York, and then the revelations that come out from that, did that bother you?
No, he made a comment, like a slight internal thing in the beginning, how he was just divorced.
Did he? I thought it was not.
Yeah, he did not tell her.
Right.
Okay. He, like his internal, like his POV.
Yeah. I think like when he's sitting at the bar.
Like there was something that like internally, one of the few times she was in his head, like about his divorce just getting finalized.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly how it was worded, but it was definitely there.
Yeah. Cause then when Grace finds out, like she thinks that he was married when they were together and he like clarifies that too. I like that they were very open about like confronting each other instead of like, well, I mean, she assumed that he punched Ethan, but that was like the telephone small town
Yeah.
Gossip train.
But it, we've all well, also experienced she was mad that about though, it. Too.
Yeah. She didn't want to hear him out at that point. So like her emotions were running high. Although there was one point, like after when they broke up, like in the third act, and he's like, "You're acting like a child," and she's like, "Really? I'm the one who's acting like a child right now? Like, grow the fuck up, dude."
Yeah,
I
well.
really enjoyed that because honestly, like she is 25, but she was a very mature character. Like, and there was no like backslide in that. Like, she had emotions and she had reactions, which I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things I really liked about her character the most is like, even because like when her dad freaked out, like she had some, she had a little bit of a freak out as well, but then she iced him out
Yeah.
because she was mad at him because he had such a bad reaction,
So
which I
before we
thought was
talk
great.
about the third act, I have to talk about the almost getting, well, they did get caught by his brother Josh. And I was like, the moment where she's like, first of all, who walks out to a hotel room where there's room service potentially coming in just your underpants? I mean,
I was like, who did you think he was talking to? Like,
right,
yeah.
like.
I looked it up just out of curiosity. Chapter two, especially those that hadn't seen any action since his divorce last year, talking about
Okay.
his nether regions.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So I it was mentioned, just not to her.
So but that leads to my next question. So sometimes, so this is a secret romance, right? Like they're hiding, they're running around, you know, he does a lot of jogging at night.
He does.
Yeah. I felt
And
like they could have done better to hide it, but
well, but he couldn't drive there.
right.
And it's not like they live far apart. So,
Well,
I mean, he
and
needs his
he's like,
exercise
when
too.
he comes back and he's like, you know, I can't, I've been running, I can't go running for 3 hours. My mom will think something's up. Dude, your mom already
With his
thinks
history.
something's up. Like, she's not that dumb.
But also, you're an adult.
Yeah.
Like, you're almost 40.
Right.
Your mom is not going, she might question it, but she's not really going to question it at the same time.
So, them getting caught. First of
Ugh.
all, I'm really shocked that none of the cousins picked up on it sooner.
Right?
Presley does a little bit. Like when they're at the bar at that show, he kind
Well, and
of like.
Sabrina kind of does too.
Does she though? Because see, to me, Sabrina's kind of
She
a
made a
little bit of
couple
a.
little comments like through like the
Yeah.
dialogue that like but she didn't she could have cared less. Like I
Yeah.
think that's the big thing is I think that some of the cousins had inklings that stuff was going on just by like watching, but none of them cared.
Yeah, Sabrina's, yeah, out there. Like, I
I really can't wait
like
for her book,
Sabrina.
though. I cannot wait for her
Are we
book.
getting her book? Because I know she's not writing all of them.
No, she is writing all of them.
Oh, she is
Oh.
writing.
Everybody will get a book. Every second gen will get a book.
That is
I've been
delightful.
promised this, so. But
Well, Carrie Elks, we're holding you to it.
I'm secretly hoping that one of these is going to be a Winterville. Heart Sink
Oh,
Creek crossover
crossover.
because they already exist in the same world. So, anyway, listen.
I mean, they've and they visited
Book one of
before.
Winterville, Gray goes and performs a concert
Yeah.
at the Candy Cane Theater. So, just saying. I need, and then. Well, I'll get on to her next series.
Anyway,
I'm very excited about too because there's a
you're not allowed
Salinger
to talk about that
crossover,
one yet,
but I'm not allowed to talk about it yet,
though.
not till April. Okay, so in this third act, Michael is dumb.
Oh yeah.
They're the like most like
And I was looking at
he's such a
reviews today.
sociopath.
So many people DNF'd at 91% because of how dumb he
Oh,
was. Like I saw
so dumb.
several, and I'm like, he was dumb. He was very dumb. But
But
Daniel made
I
me
think,
mad, like ragey
oh,
mad.
Daniel was the worst. Like, I mean, granted, he doesn't find out about them in the best way. So you realize, like, you understand that he's not going to have a good reaction, but then but it goes
Yeah.
downhill even more. It's like when you walk into your daughter's bedroom and you see a half-naked dude there, that's one thing. But then to realize it is your brother's stepson, I mean, that can be a little shocking. But then you're like the ultimate asshole. And it just keeps going.
Yeah. He just
Because then you show up and tell him that he has to choose between being with Grace or Grace getting along with her family. It's
Right.
like, well, you know what the dumbass is going to pick.
Right.
And again, I really think she did an excellent job of like explaining why he would make that choice
Yeah.
because of
Yes.
his past.
Well, and it
Like he is.
adds, and it added to the emotion. So one of the things I think this book gives us is really good emotional depth and emotional stakes, right? Like I was sad for Michael. I loved his character in his in Cam's book, but I felt so sad for him when he talks about never feeling at home in Hartson Creek because so many others had found their space. And I think that's what made me so mad about Daniel, because he came to the distillery not happy to be there. Like he went running it for his dad after his dad passed, and he was pissed about it. And he didn't like Hartson Creek, but then he found Becca and found home and found space. And you would have thought that he would have had some empathy
Well,
for
but
Michael.
I think in his moment, like he was all emotion. He was not, there was no logic in any of it. Like it was just pure, this is my baby girl who is doing a dude who is like, who I know was a hot mess when he was a teenager, like, and then basically fucked off and disappeared. So I think a lot of it was emotion. He was an
Snapped.
ass, like way, like totally out of like sorts, but like I think that it was emotionally driven, and so there was no logic because the timeline for when he catches them to when he gives the ultimatum is not even a full day, it's like 3 hours. So like when he, because when he and then Michael have that conversation after everything happens, and like Daniel acknowledges like I fucked up, like I reacted. I did not take a step back to think about it. And I think that's the biggest thing. And it's like, as much as I
Should have
hate his
listened
reaction,
to
well, that,
his
yes. But also, like, it
wife.
just really humanizes him in the sense where, like, he was a reactive
Yeah.
person in that moment. Like, he punched the wall, and his wife is like, what are you doing? Like, you are not this person. And, like, but he didn't, he was so caught up in himself that he didn't think about anybody else around him.
So, one of the things, real quick, before we talk about the very ending and the grand gesture and kind of the full circle moment that happens here, I did. So, this is, kind of the forbidden, the taboo. And typically, this is a trope that we see in darker romances, the gray to the dark, right? I like that this was explored within a contemporary, more in the light, less dark connotations. Even though they're sneaking around, it never feels like dark and angsty. It, I don't know. I feel like that is something that is kind of that next level of why I love Carrie Elk's writing.
That's fair because it's I don't portrayed in a realistic way. Like you could see this happening where like I feel like the more the darker stuff is like, look, I'm not gonna hopefully no one's kidnapping me, right? Like
Well, and no one's gonna,
yeah.
I don't have a stepbrother, but I'm fairly certain I'm not gonna have sex with him. So,
Right. I mean, you never know.
let's talk about how there's a little bit of poeticism, I would say, in this book. It starts in the rain, it ends in the rain. So there, Carrie Elks has a poeticness to her romances. Grand gesture, did Michael do enough to redeem himself.
I think so.
Yes.
I think she took him back sooner than she should have, but I think had they did the two full weeks, then I think that he would have, because it was the way he apologized to her when he showed up at the house. And I think that had that conversation, like he not said what he said, then I think it would have not felt as okay to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But
Jenny, do you think that he did enough?
Yeah.
For redemption?
Yeah. I mean, because he's also like emotionally driven at that point, right? Like, so, I mean, he could have thought it out a little more, but I think I'm more with Leah, like,
I also think that they had this year of pining. Like, he was searching for her and she couldn't get him out. And I will say it didn't bother me that neither slept with anybody else in that year. It didn't.
See, I could have cared less about that one in this book.
There was so much mutual pining that I felt like the ending and the quick acceptance made sense, because they've already done all this distance
and time away.
It's not that it didn't make sense. I just think she gave in too fast.
Right. And I think that's like different. Like, I mean, we're all reading the same book, but experiencing it differently. And when you explain it like that, like, yeah, like they've already been apart. Like they're done doing that.
Right. It's kind of like you think you're having like a big giant fight with your spouse and you feel like it's been hours, but really it's only been 20 minutes. And you're like, just say you're sorry, you know? And like, then you move on and let it go.
Yeah. Are you mad at me? And they're like, no. And you're like, we are not living in the same moment.
Right. Like, at some point I have to just be like, okay, this fight was stupid. We both said things we shouldn't have said.
Do you have to say that?
I mean, sometimes you have to be the adult, Leah. I mean,
did I have to like pretty much beat and punish my husband to say sorry because he had to be the one to be wrong? Yes, I did. But I got my I'm sorry and we can move on now.
I mean, he will always be the one that says sorry, not me.
And this it's is why Leah say, I'm sorry. Is the mean one.
I sound so callous, but really, I do apologize when I am in the wrong, however few times that may be.
And there is a huge cast of characters. We have multiple generations. This is one of the bad things with these next gen series of books. If you haven't read book one or haven't read the first generation, sometimes the second gen, it can feel confusing because you're meeting all these characters. I think Carrie Elks does a good job, but I've read them all.
Aside from the fact that it was hard to keep track of who belonged to who, which I do that in smaller books too. So
I do that in real life sometimes. So
well, also that. So that, but I it didn't bug me because it wasn't like there were just all these random people who were like just showing like out of the woodwork. Like every interaction with the other family members, it made sense.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like with Presley and Marlene, like we got these elaborate descriptions of them. We got little snippets into like where their stories are going to lead. Like Presley, we know he has a daughter. His wife passed away. Like, and her name is Jade. But like
that book will take you around some corners.
Well, but anyway, but like we get little Easter eggs essentially into like
and
where
you
their
do
books
meet
are going
his
to take
love
us.
Interest in this book.
Okay,
you do meet.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah, it's who you think it is his love interest. And I'm excited for you to read that, Jenny, because I think that dynamic, there's some pieces in it that add to it. So, okay. Anything else we need to talk about in that one regret before I go to thumbs
this
up?
This is totally down? Me thing. Yeah. So, the first few times I read his whole name together, like Michael... What is it?
Devlin.
I kept thinking his name was Melvin. And I'm like, who names their kid Melvin? Like, I seriously, for a whole day, thought his name was Melvin.
Can I say I appreciate that he's a Michael and he was called Michael?
Oh, I think
Yeah.
so.
Because a
Yeah.
lot of times you get
Okay.
Michaels and they go by Mike, but like, I mean, my Michael, like everybody calls him Mike but me. So I appreciated the fact that like he was a Michael.
Yeah, and his brother calls him Mike, right? Like,
Yeah, Josh calls him
Yes.
Mike. Yeah.
Josh calls
Yeah.
him Mike.
Yeah. It's funny because now I call Mike, but for a long time he was Michael. His grandmother called him Michael. She never referred to him as Mike. So that is, yeah.
Yeah, mine, like his mom does sometimes, but his dad is also a Mike, so it would get confusing. So that's why he was Michael a lot when he was younger. But yeah, I'm the only one who calls him that
I
now, but
think that's
I like that.
Go ahead.
Like my brother is Matthew, and like everybody calls him Matt, but like my dad absolutely refuses. Like he is will always be
Matthew.
Matthew, and I'm just Jenny. I have never been
Anything but Jenny.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
One of the
so weird.
things I do love about Carrie Elwes is she gives us really classic names for the characters, and I do love that.
I do
Just
enjoy that the Gray's
Press,
kids all
yes.
have like
Marley and
musician
Presley
names.
and Hendrix. Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. Well, what totally fits his persona that
It
we met in
does.
book one,
Well, I
because
didn't care
a
about
hundred
that. It
percent.
just like you know that like he is the dude that plays music because like he
Yeah, you're
has
like, those are his
like
kids.
it's an easy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
It is definitely a thumbs up for me. I like this book. This actually was the first Carrie Elwes I read, and then I went back and read other ones. But yeah, I really enjoyed this story a lot.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Definitely thumbs up. Like, yeah, I'm gonna read the rest of them eventually.
Thumbs up for me. Like, that was even a question, right?
That
I
was
mean,
rhetorical.
I really
Right.
like Carrie Elwes, and I think that she's one of those authors that people are sleeping on.
Yeah.
I would
But she
agree.
has a really nice, clean writing style, too. Like,
Yeah.
it's not bogged down. Like, they're not super long. Like, they're not super short, but they're not like overly long. They're not, the pages are not crowded with
You got a
chaos.
really great, solid story, and it wasn't 500 pages.
It was, oh no, that's the wrong book. I was going to say it was 380, but.
So anyway, if people liked this book, the age gap, the small town, what other books might they like? I have a
Okay,
list, so
so
you
I
go
have a
first, Leah.
couple. If you really like that small town thing, I don't love Lucy Score's new stuff, but her Blue Moon series, which is one of her like older series, like the small town aspect of it is like it's this really kitschy, quirky small town. I love that series. I have Mariah Ankenmann's The Wedding Dilemma. They are becoming step siblings,
Oh, that's a
like.
good one.
And they have a meet disaster. He's a fireman. She's an artist. Like she's stuck in like
And a body cast mold.
her plaster cast that she is cre trying to do.
Is
But
she
it
naked in
is
the cast?
well, you all have you tend to be naked when you cast
I
yourself, but you
assume
have
you're
to cover
so.
yourself
Yeah.
to protect the goods. But you don't want clothes because then you get lumps and rolls that. From the fabric that doesn't lay right.
She is naked under the cast. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and she gets stuck in it. It is a delightful book, but it has that like taboo element to it because like they're becoming step siblings, but they're not. And so, but I mean, it's a Mariah book, so it's delightfully cute.
Yeah. So Lauren Rose, new one, Finding Home. That is it, an age gap. My Favorite Kidnapper by Melanie Moreland is age
Oh,
gap. If you like small town in age gap, Vanessa Vale's series, the Manhunt
yeah. On a
series has
Manhunt
it. Yeah.
series. Yeah.
Manscape kind of has that forbidden because it's her ex's dad in that book.
Well, kind of ex.
Kind of
Not really
ex.
ex.
What Heals Us
It's
by Maggie
awkward.
Gates is another good age gap. Bourbon Summer by Walker Rose. The Tease by Lauren Blakely. Anyway, if you like age gap romances, there are a couple of listicles over on our website. Ones where she's older, ones where he's older, some just in general.
Well, in Walker's series, book one is they were foster siblings, so it has that taboo element to it also.
What do you have, Jenny? Do you have any?
I can't, like, think off the top of my head, though.
That's okay.
One of these days, I'm going to come prepared.
Yeah. Why? Where would be the fun in that?
I don't know. I mean, I have made it this far in life right? without being prepared. So.
And I'm sure...
That's why we have Becky.
I'm sure that next week's episode will be long, too, because, again, we're talking about books that I love or that I want you to read. So these episodes, of course, are going to be longer because I have so many things I have to say about these books. So... sure. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us for this episode. That's a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into That One Regret by Carrie Elks. We are back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the YouTube, and afterwards we'll be in your podcast feed. The topic Sunday is it fanfic or is it retelling? And I think we have to figure out what the name of that rule is.
We do.
Anyway, tune in so you can know what the name of the rule is.
Because we do not.
We can't remember the name.
We will educate you.
Next week, we're diving
in. It is daylight savings on Sunday. Oh. Thanks, Stacey. Yeah.
We spring forward.
Spring ahead.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll be here.
My takeaway was, thank goodness, it's not a swim meet weekend.
Right.
Because that would be horrible.
Oh, and thank goodness the girl child doesn't work at 5:30 in the morning Sundays.
That would really suck.
Next week, we're here on Wednesday night, and we're going to deep dive into my all-time absolute favorite. Will accept no criticism, but I will for that episode only. And only for brief moments, and then I'll probably cut you off and tell you why you're wrong. We are going to read Whitney, My Love by Judith McNaught. And Jenny, I actually read an author's note. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
It opens on an author's note. Anyway.
Oh, so that's what you read.
That was very insightful. So that's what we have going on. You can always check out buzzingaboutromance.com for a list of upcoming books and discussions. Anything else I'm forgetting?
I don't think so.
Sign up for our newsletter. We're trying to give some books away. We have books to give away.
Some big name fan hardcovers to give away. So
yeah. Anyway,
I do have a couple people that have entered.
Join our newsletter. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.